Here comes the bride with a knife that's 1 inch wide. Where is the groom dead in the dressing room?
Stabbed in the heart because death do us part.
Hello and welcome to Death Do Us Part. I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Laura.
And today we're talking about fresh cuts, meaning haircuts.
Or not so fresh cuts.
Or not so fresh cuts. There was a preview on our last episode. Laura shared the story of her husband cutting their son's hair for the, was it the first time?
No. Oh, it was the first time he cut his hair. I've cut his hair before, and I think I specifically said, why don't you wait for me to do it? Because I've had experience. And he took that to mean, why don't you wait for me? Because I think you're going to fuck it up. And then immediately ran outside to fuck it up.
You know, I saw him the day after and it wasn't as noticeable unless like you guys fixed it or something.
I sat there. So he also cut his ear. I don't know if I told you this, but he also cut his
ear.
Like
the buzzers? Or?
Yeah.
How do you even do that?
I know, magic. I don't know. So then our son was like, you can't cut my hair anymore. I'm just going to want mommy to do it. I want mommy to save me. And so then I sat there and mostly like used scissors because he'd kind of shaved quite a bit of it away to try and like blend it a little bit more.
Blend to the bald spot.
He was looking like he shaved it up too high up the sides, but then like didn't do anything with the top. So it was kind of like a little like mushroom heady.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I was like blending it so it looked a little less like two on the sides and then like a solid like 8 to 9 on the top.
Oh, wow.
So I blended it and it did not look quite as bad. A little jaggedy in the back and his ear still was like bleeding, but improvement.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, I don't think you mentioned that he cut his ear. That's impressive.
I kind of forgot about that part a little bit.
With a safety buzzer, I don't even know how you do that.
Well, I think he took the like guard off because he was trying to go around his ear.
Yeah, but even when it's off, like it still needs something small to get in there. Like when you do that in your neck
I
with
literally
no guard.
I couldn't tell you.
To get like a zero. It's not like it chews your neck up.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't, I can't tell you. But then I think, the next day, it was like Super Bowl Sunday.
Super Bowl.
And my mom walked in, she's like, oh, Calvin, like you got your hair cut. And he like turns and he goes, Daddy cut my ear off.
Van Gogh'd me.
I was like, what?
the kids are just the greatest, aren't they? Just gems.
The best.
Well, so that's an expansion on your recent pet peeve. Do you have any other pet peeves?
Haircut. My like personal haircut pet peeve is that I haven't got my haircut in a really long time. And the last time I got my haircut, I cut it myself, or I think Kelly cut it. Those are the last two times that I got my haircut. It was either me or her.
Yep.
I had a haircut person and then they quit and I just like don't have a haircut person. And
yeah,
so I don't know
understand
what to do.
That.
How do you go find a new haircut person?
You just try them out and hope you find a good one.
Yeah. And like Nick and Calvin go to like some, when they're not wrecking their hair at home, they go to some like fancy barber. Yeah. And I don't know. That seems like a lot of effort and I don't like meeting people or talking to new people or going to people. And like the small talk of that whole experience is like really stressful for me. So I don't want to have to go and then like hate it and then like have to go again and like meet someone new again. So I just am not doing it basically.
That's kind of what my pet peeves are about haircuts. It's so hard to find someone who can cut hair well. And I don't understand why, because that's what they've trained to do. And some of them have done their whole life. When I was a kid, I had a barber and he did really well and I was happy with it. And then he retired. And I tried a couple of the other people who were at the same barber shop. They just didn't do a good job. So I like I when I left I felt I just like looked stupid, and that's not how you should feel when you leave and pay for a haircut.
Yeah.
And so you know how that went. I just let my hair grow out down to my shoulders when I was in high school and gave up. I just didn't cut my hair anymore for like 2 years.
See, I haven't gone. Actually, I have gone. I've gone since the beginning of the pandemic, so I have gone that long. But I had Kelly or like myself cut it. So
get those split ends.
I'm not full Rapunzel yet.
Then,
but you should go. You should go see Calvin's barber, because his name is Kenny and Calvin loves him, and he somehow manages to do a good job on the hair of like a 2-year-old. So
how much does Kenny charge your 3-year-old?
I don't know. He was like an apprentice. Also, they go through at this barbershop like some extreme apprenticeship where you're like an apprentice for like years. So it was a lot cheaper through him than like a master barber, because he was just an apprentice and not a master barber.
I feel like even the cheap cut is still too expensive for me, but that probably says why I find people who don't cut hair well is because I'm looking for the cheapest haircut. That's probably
why. Going to like Super Clips or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I probably that's where I went last time, but actually there's a good person there who does my hair that I like. So maybe I found somebody until like she moves and I'm screwed again.
We'll all know when you have like a graying, like super long mullet going on, what happened.
I also don't like when they ask me like what to do with my hair and they say a bunch of words. I don't know what it means. Like, do you want it rounded or squared or tapered in the back? And I'm like, what do you think looks good? And oftentimes
when you don't want it rounded would look terrible.
But I've heard people have asked that to me before. I'm like, I don't really know. Just make me not look stupid and I'm good. I'm happy. I'm easy customer. I'm so easy, in fact. And I've told this story to you before. I may have even been on the podcast briefly, but I got that haircut. That was the worst haircut I've ever gotten. I was so upset when they cut like my hair shorter next to the part than they did for it was. And so I'm convinced now she was day drunk. I let her cut my hair, even though she was slurring her words. And then I tipped her anyway.
Actually, speaking of the part, though, did you know that they can, like, shave a part into your head?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they can cut. Oh, you think I would have trusted her to do that?
No, she would have cut, like, part of your scalp. But we have them do that for Calvin, because then it's so easy to cut. Like, his hair just automatically will, like, you know, stay parted. And it's so much easier to do it.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. But then it grows back is the problem. Then you have to go back to get your hair cut because that little part will start to get these short, stupid hairs in them.
Well, I've never really noticed that for his, but I think it's because he has to go back and get his hair cut anyways because it's like falling into his eyes. Mm-hmm. And once he starts asking like if I'll put like zebra hair clips or bobby pins in his hair, then like we have to go get him a haircut anyways because it really bothers him.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Plus, like, we slick it back for, like, school and stuff sometimes. And when he starts getting long and he looks like, and it, like, flips behind his ears and he's, like, a little, like, brunette Draco Malfoy, then, like, gotta get a haircut.
What's wrong with that? I rocked that hairstyle for years when I was in school.
It's not, like, a glowing endorsement for that haircut.
I saw something on TikTok. She had a... I'm not sure where from in the UK, but a European accent. She's like, why do some women look so hot when they pull their hair back real tight? And then she gets a sad look and she does it. She's like, but I look like Draco Malfoy. She did. It was like a side by side. It's just like her face structure was. And Draco Malfoy, when he was younger, he was really young. Which is more like an androgynous look. Most kids are, you know, there's kids are kids. And that's kind of what she looked like. That's funny that she called it out.
That's like the meme I sent to Kelly one time where it was talking about how like some people look like good with low ponytails, but I look like a founding father.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Well, for my murder this week.
I was going to say, well, your haircut wasn't great. At least it didn't end in murder.
No. At least it didn't end in murder. So for my, I shouldn't be laughing, but this is a story about a man and his friends in Pecos, New Mexico. Gunshots were heard at someone's home and police were called. When they arrived, they saw Mark Valencia. He was sitting in the driveway covered in blood and he was drunk. When they entered the home, the police found two people dead. One was Mark's girlfriend, Eva Aragon, which I think is someone from Lord of the Rings. And the other was his barber and friend, Steven Singer. They also found someone was hiding in the closet, which was another of Mark's friends, David Sturgeon. So the survivor, David, told the police that Mark and Steven, the barber, were arguing about his haircut. Mark wasn't very happy. And I've had a whopper of shitty haircuts, as I said, and I didn't kill anyone. I just tipped them. So clearly wouldn't happen to me.
That's so much better.
And you know what? When stuff like that happens, I feel like a lot of people are like, yeah, you know, the haircut's fine. It's fine. Like, they don't want to offend the barber. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. And then afterwards, I complain and bitch and moan about it.
That's what, I don't want to like hurt the person's feelings, which is dumb because they've wrecked my whole entire self-confidence. But I don't want to hurt their feelings, and then I don't want to like get in a confrontation. I don't want them to be like, "Oh, we'll sit down and I'll fix it." Like,
right? Because now they're pissed off because you said they suck, and they do suck, but they still. And it's like, well, you're clearly not going to improve this situation, so I'm just going to smile and nod and be like, "Yeah, all right, best haircut ever. Okay, thanks. Here's a tip," and then. It's a major breach of etiquette that Mark was arguing with his barber. I guess after the argument, Mark said he was going to get his gun. And I guess no one cared about it. They were all drinking, whatever. Clearly,
he's
my
like,
barbershop
my
experience.
Gun, and they were like, sure, dude, whatever.
Yeah. So there was an argument. He's like, Mom, I'm going to go get my gun. And then they just stayed there. He came back to the front door. So he must have left the home. Came back to the front door of the house and immediately shot his barber in the face when he opened the door. Now, David went and hid in the closet. He witnessed that Mark's girlfriend went to check on the barber. And when she ran over to check on the barber, Mark said, "Is that what you want, bitch?" And then he shot her in the head.
What?
Yeah. So, okay. You know what? You're pissed off about your haircut. Your barber's arguing with you, saying, "No, it's good haircut. You're fine, man. Fresh cut. You look good." And then he kills him. Okay. You know what? It's a stretch, but let's accept it. And then when his very concerned girlfriend's like, "Oh my God, you just shot somebody. I'm going to check on him." Then he decides to kill her too.
That seems like, did he think there was something going on between his girlfriend and the barber? Because I feel like that's a big jump to be like, my haircut is bad.
And he didn't even get cut on the ear. I mean,
right? Really. Even if you get cut on the ear, the most you should do is just kind of cry about it and go find your mommy.
Mommy! So while David's hiding in the closet, he called 911 while Mark is shooting people in the head. While he was on the phone, Mark tried to break in. David held the door closed. As you do when, like, a sibling's trying to get in your room and you have no lock on your door. Kind of like that. And then Mark tried shooting through the door to kill him. Luckily, he missed. And then Mark, when the police arrived, Mark was out in the driveway. I guess he gave up on the door. And he told the police that they were drinking hard alcohol and beer. Then the fight started. And according to Mark, his barber, Steven, had only cut half his hair. Which, I mean, it's not a good job, but it's not worth death. That was like his thing.
Does he think maybe
like,
part of the reason his haircut wasn't good is because everyone was drunk?
You know, that could have been part of it. So Mark, his defense, he claimed he feared for his life because Steven was so much bigger than him. And he was afraid because they got in an argument. He admitted that he intended to shoot Steven, but he never intended to shoot his girlfriend. He said she just got in the way, but the guy in the closet, David, said otherwise. Right. Mark ended up being charged with 2 counts of first-degree murder and attempted murder and a few other miscellaneous charges. Now, this happened just 2 months ago, December of 2021. So he's got a ways to go, I'm sure, before his sentencing, but I don't think it's going to be a difficult trial. He admitted to trying to shoot one person, ended up killing two, and he shot through a door. So it's not like the guy who was hiding behind the door was threatening his life, and yet he tried to shoot at him.
Right. Yeah, just hiding from him. He obviously wasn't like trying to fight with him or anything.
Like maybe you could have said it was manslaughter. Maybe that would have been the lawyer's, you know, charge to try to talk down to, because the guy was so much bigger and the girlfriend got in the way. He's still going to jail for a long time. But once you start shooting through a door instead of like fleeing for your life, I think your defense is pretty much done.
Yep.
So that must have been the worst. I thought my haircut was the worst haircut ever, but that must have been the worst haircut ever.
Truly the worst haircut. I think that also, though, you both got haircuts by drunk people, so you do have that in common.
Wow, you're right. We do have that in common.
You're different. The only difference is that you weren't also drunk, and I think that really benefited you in your situation.
Yeah, you know what, though? If I had been drunk, maybe I would have been like, yeah, this is the best haircut ever. I would have tipped higher.
The place that Nick goes, they haven't done it for a while because pandemic, but when he first started going there, they would like, you used to get a beer and you could like drink your beer while they were giving you a haircut. And I felt like that's why he went there. Because their haircuts were good, but because like he would drink a beer and then it didn't matter. He just assumed the haircut was good.
It's a good deal because you raise your prices, give them a cheap ass beer, charge them a lot for it. And then hopefully they tip you higher because you just had a whole beer.
Yeah, because they had a beer. Yeah, smart.
Everyone's your friend.
So I actually, my murder is about, or my story is about Gilbert Paul Jordan. He was known as the boozing barber.
Well, we got three names. Gilbert Paul Jordan. So this is going to be an intense individual.
He's, and he has an alias, the boozing barber. He was a Canadian serial killer.
Ooh.
In Vancouver,
why was he so excited? Why am I so excited that there's a serial killer called the boozing barber? It's because
it's terrible, the alliteration.
Also, that's what it is.
Oh, maybe. But also all three, like, well, I was going to say all three of our murders, but both of our murders and then your story is all just like drunk barbering.
That's true.
Don't drink and cut hair.
I never knew that was such a big deal.
But he actually didn't. He didn't kill people while barbering, or he didn't drink and then barber. He was a barber, but he was linked to the deaths of between 8 to 10 women from 1965 to 1988.
Wow, 10.
Is that what you said? Basically, 10 women. 8 to 10. Yeah.
Oh wow! So they only found like two halves of a body or something.
Well, there's some of them that they're not 100% sure that they can, like, attribute to him.
Okay, gotcha.
So, basically what he would do is he would find women in bars, and then he would buy them drinks and encourage them to drink with him. The reason that I think he got away with it multiple times is a lot of times he would find women who were like sex workers or who already were kind of known for like having alcoholism, because he was finding these women in like seedy bars and stuff. Mm-hmm. So then what he would do is he would drink with them, and then he'd get them so they passed out, and then he would pour liquor down their throats. And then their resulting deaths were reported as alcohol poisoning. And wow. The police didn't really pay attention because a lot of the victims suffered from alcoholism or were sex workers and like weren't worth their time when they just died from basically drinking too much.
It's a pretty simple way to do it, really.
Yep. So the first woman who was known to have died by alcohol poisoning in Jordan's company was in 1965. And she was a switchboard operator named Ivy Rose, and she was found naked and dead in a Vancouver hotel, and her blood alcohol level was 0.51. So then there was Mary Johnson, who was in 1980, and her blood alcohol level was 0.34. Barbara Paul, September of 1981, her blood alcohol level was 0.41. Mary Johns in July of 1982, was found at his barbershop, 2503 Kingsway. Her blood alcohol level was 0.76.
Okay, so just to put this in context, you're like 0.3, 0.4, 0.7. The legal limit to drive, like, your blood alcohol content is like 0.08%.
Mm-hmm.
It's like legally drunk.
Yeah, these people, like, their blood alcohol content was crazy insanely high.
Wow.
This is the part that's, like, insane to me. So they found this woman at his barbershop dead with a high blood alcohol level.
Mm-hmm.
December 15th of 1984, Patricia Thomas, also found at his barbershop, blood alcohol level of 0.51. Patricia Andrew, June 1985, also found at his barbershop. And her blood alcohol was 0.79.
So this is like Sweeney Todd, but no razor, just alcohol.
Yes. And I wonder if part of that story, like, was inspired a little bit by him, but...
It could be, depending on the timing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's not more than one barber who's slit someone's throat, though.
Oh, probably. It's just doing so many in a row, I guess. And then the other common thread about all of these women is a lot of them were, like, Native Indian women in Canada. And so that also contributed to the fact that the police basically didn't bother to do any sort of investigation or anything for them.
That's sad.
Is because they were people of color. And so there are people of color who were sometimes sex workers, sometimes alcoholics, and then the police basically didn't do anything.
Terrible.
So they, after they started finding a bunch of them in his own barbershop, he was tried in 1988 before a judge alone, so like no jury or anything. And the judge found him guilty of manslaughter and the death of one of the women. So he was sentenced to 15 years of prison, but that was reduced to 9 years on appeal. Wow. He served 6 of these years for the manslaughter conviction. After he was released, he was placed on probation where he could only go to Vancouver Island. And then in June of 2000, he was charged with sexual assault, negligence causing bodily harm, and administering a noxious substance, alcohol. And then he tried to change his name. And so they didn't let him change his name, basically. And so he couldn't do that. He was arrested in 2002 for a breach of his probation because he was found drinking and in the presence of a woman who also was drinking. So he was found guilty and sentenced to 15 months in jail. Then he had 3 years of probation with strict conditions. Then, again, in 2004, he was arrested for violating probation. He had been in a party that was binge drinking, and he wasn't supposed to be drinking.
Not a good scene.
So he died then in 2006.
So he only served 6 years. He got out, and then he had 15 more months of probation. Then when he went to jail, he died again.
He only served, well, he drank, like, I remember I was, like, reading somewhere, the dude drank 50, it was something entirely insane. Like, he was known for drinking, like, 50 ounces or something of vodka, like, a day.
Oh. But he only ever got charged with manslaughter.
Even though
he was presumably a serial killer.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So they linked him to the murder of all of these women. They all died with, like, high blood alcohol, naked in hotel rooms. 3 of them at his barber shop. But he only got trialed by judge, and he was only found guilty of manslaughter for one of these women.
Wow.
And the one woman that he was found guilty of manslaughter was, she was a white woman woman who was not a heavy drinker and she wasn't a sex worker. And that was the only person that he actually got arrested for and then was charged with manslaughter.
And even at that, he only got manslaughter.
Right, because basically if they weren't linking it to any of these other murders in any of these other cases, like, they could have, he could have basically played it that this was a one-time thing and he didn't know she drank so much and so, like, he didn't realize that, you know, she had alcohol poisoning or whatever. And because he didn't take her to a hospital and get her to safety or anything, then it was manslaughter. But once you start linking it to the 8 to 10 other women, then, like, it's clearly him doing it on purpose.
Yeah. Well, I'd say he more or less got away with it.
Yep.
Only 6 years. Well, then he drank himself to death anyway.
Yeah, I really wish I could find exactly how much vodka it said that he drank, because it was absolutely insane.
He's like the Michael Scott.
Oh, here. Jordan was known for drinking more than 50 ounces of vodka a day.
Jeez. He's like the Michael Scott of the world when he goes to the liquor store and has, I don't know, like 20 bottles of vodka. He's like, is this enough to get 13 people drunk? The guy's like, yeah.
Yeah? Yeah, he only served 6 years, but I guess like he'd been getting away with it for a long time because he died when he was 74, so he wasn't like crazy young. And he started, his span of crime started in 1965.
I mean, that people are aware of.
And then he wasn't arrested. Right. And then he wasn't arrested until like 88.
Wow. So he lived a long time before he actually got charged with something.
Yep.
But I mean, he just kept getting away with it.
Yeah. Nobody cared.
That's the saddest part.
So, I mean, eventually they could establish a pattern, but like legitimately, if he'd only done that to one person and they were just like, oh, they got alcohol poisoning. Like, yeah.
I wonder like if that happened today, if they would look at that and say 0.7, you almost couldn't consume that much alcohol before you'd pass out.
Right. How would you get that much alcohol in your system? Unless you just like
chugged a milk jug full.
Or if you put like an enema up your butt.
There you go.
Because that gets way more alcohol since it doesn't have to go through your digestive tract. It just goes like straight into absorbing into your bloodstream and it makes your alcohol, like your blood alcohol level way higher, way faster. It's very dangerous.
Is this experience speaking? Just kidding.
No, it was on one of those episodes of 1,000 Ways to Die. Mm-hmm, this guy was an alcoholic and he wasn't supposed to have alcohol and he had really bad ulcers. And then he like convinced his girlfriend or whatever at the time that he just like needed alcohol really badly. So they did like an enema through his butt and then he died of alcohol poisoning.
Awful.
And that episode is burned so clearly into my mind, apparently.
All the times you thought you might try that, you were like, nope. Nope, I remember that episode. Don't want to die.
I just remember like it being super weird. And for some reason, they like had like one of those hospital IV bags, but then she was like filling it up with alcohol instead, and it just seemed like that was like from the beginning, it just seemed like that was a terrible idea.
I'll say. Well, hey, before we get into our hypothetical murders, we should thank our patron Jimmy Fuquay at the Jimmy Fuquay on Instagram. Of course, you can find us at deathtohispartpodcast.com, where I haven't updated anything in literally months. I should probably do that. But our Instagram's hot and popping at DeedUpCast. And you can find us at DeedUpCast on Facebook as well. And email us at deedup.podcast@gmail.com. Still got it. Woo. Woo. Kind of. But speaking of hypothetical murders, I was trying to think about how I could kill somebody with a haircut. And I was haircut adjacent would be hair dye. And with my vast experience in dyeing Kelly's hair, two times. Yeah, the one time it was just like the bottom half. And then we did it again because there was like enough dye. And then I did all of it. And but we only ever bleached the bottom half.
Got it.
Is that right? Maybe I'm thinking because I bleached it and I dyed. I don't remember. It took me like 3, maybe more hours to do this because I don't know what the hell I'm doing. And so it took me forever. My back was aching. My hips were popping from left to the right, to the left to the right.
Did you do it standing or were you sitting down?
She was sitting down, so I was standing up most of the time.
What size brush did you use?
Whatever came in the cheap hair dye kit. It was tiny. It was a tiny brush. Wait, there's bigger brushes for hair dye? Jesus.
Yeah, it depends. The size of the brush is dependent on like how much hair you're doing.
All the hair? You've seen your sister's hair. All the hair?
I know, so then you would need a bigger brush.
I needed a bigger brush. But it works for my plans because I was thinking, well, I have access to someone's hair and scalp for 3 hours with no suspicions. And I'm wearing gloves. I was like, what could I do with that? And so I was looking at like contact toxins, something that was absorbed through the skin. And the most lethal that I found was batrachotoxin, which is one of the couple deadly toxins from the poison dart frog family.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking,
I'll put that in hair dye?
No, I said I would put that in hair dye. Yeah, they don't put that in hair dye regularly. Because you'd die. So I was thinking I would incorporate it into the dye mix. So when it's applied, it will get on the scalp. So it'll have a long time to absorb and start to take action. And I looked it up. It only takes the equivalent to a couple grains of rice-sized dose. So like 2 grains of rice of this toxin to kill a person.
You should like wear 2 bags, like 2 gloves. Because what if like... their gloves are really terrible. And like, what if you split the glove and got it on your hand?
Yeah. And I think this is strong enough. You'd probably want to wear 2 gloves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a neurotoxin. So you just eventually stop breathing. Your muscles would all shut down. So that's my poison dart frog hair dye job. That's my plan. Where am I going to get that toxin? More on that later. Because I have to figure that out.
The dark web.
I'm not going to Google that. How to get poison dart frog toxin.
Well, you can just buy poison dart frogs, right? Or you can like break them out of a zoo.
That would probably be the easiest way, actually, is to break them out of
a zoo. What would be the easiest is you volunteer at the zoo because they're always looking for like volunteers, or you get a job at the zoo, probably volunteer. And then you can just like clean their cage and swipe it.
Yeah, and then just never show back up to volunteer.
Yeah. Well, you have to take the frog back, right, after you, like, rub its skin on stuff.
Oh, that's even better. You take the frog back, and it's like, oh.
Nobody even knows.
It was just hiding in the cage the whole time.
Yeah.
And then,
If you took the frog away for, like, 2 hours or, like, a day, I doubt they'd notice. Like, nobody can find those things.
Like, yeah, like, you take it home at night, and then, yeah, I mean, when they're in the fucking cage to begin with, I'm like, where's the thing? Are you sure it's
in here? You're like sitting there, you're like, I'm sorry, you're telling me there's frogs in here?
Yeah, take it and then volunteer the next morning and then take it back in the morning.
Yep. Easy peasy lemon
squeezy. I'm just cleaning up alligator shit. That's all I'm doing. Back here, I'm just cleaning up alligator poop.
So mine doesn't require any extra accessories or poison dart frogs. I was looking at like accidental... like haircut deaths.
Oh, okay.
A lot of them were cars driving into like salons and stuff. So that was not helping me.
That's a thing. Like that's something that's happened often enough. There's like more than one.
Yeah.
That's kind of scary.
Because I feel like cars, they're like a lot of times I feel like salons, like they're like in like strip malls that are next to the side of a road.
Yeah. It's all about location, right? So people can see where you are.
Yeah, and then if a car, like, swerves off and drives into it, if you're in, like, some sort of other store, maybe people aren't, like, next to the window, but in salons a lot of times, like, you're sitting in that chair or, like, getting your hair washed and you're, like, next to a window and you're not moving and it's loud because you have the dryer thing on and you're not paying attention. And it's newsworthy then. Anyways, that's not what I decided to do. I found this story of a man, a dad of two, who was nearly killed by his haircut, and he warns of beauty salon stroke syndrome.
Huh.
So Dave Tyler, who was 45 at the time, suffered a massive stroke that was caused by a blood clot. And so then basically after he went to hospital or whatever, what they figured out is that the clot that caused his massive stroke was caused by pressure from the sink's rim, like when you lean your head back to get your hair washed.
Oh, wow. He was
like getting his head pushed too hard against the sink's rim, which damaged an artery at the back of his neck that caused the blood clot that then went and caused his stroke.
Man, who would ever guess that?
Right? Isn't that crazy? So anyways, I just figured that I had to buy one of those salon chairs and then offer to wash Nick's hair there. And then I would just like really hard press his head down and his neck against that bar.
Just, you know, don't break his neck so it's not so obvious.
Right, don't break his neck, but push it hard enough that it's damaging arteries. Also, that story has now, like I'm clearly not going back to a salon. They're going to be like, oh, would you like to get your hair washed? No, thank you. Nope. I know you, what you're trying to do over there.
Not even a little. So that's
or
like,
I'll do that's the thing so that I've always done before, which I found it really uncomfortable, so I never leaned my neck like back against it anyways, so I'd just be like holding my head up super stiff, and then like my shoulders and the back of my neck would be like sore the next day from like the effort, which I was like holding my neck up, so I didn't like rest it on the weird cold ceramic-y surface.
Yeah, it's not comfortable.
Yeah. Anyways, the dude got paid out £90,000. I guess from the salon, because it was their fault that he had this massive stroke and was in like a wheelchair and stuff.
And they probably have insurance for accidents and stuff.
Yep.
That reminds me, the leaning back in your hair wash. That one Sport Clips chain of haircutteries. They like take you in the back to wash your hair. And I think the chair is like a massage chair or something. And then they do like...
That's not creepy at all.
Yeah, it is
come
a little creepy.
Come to the back.
It's not like... Yeah, well, anyway. It's like a separate room where the sinks are. But and I always found it really uncomfortable to lean all the way back. And then they give you like a scalp massage while they're doing it. And I remember distinctly one time, this one girl who was doing it, she had like a catch on her nail or something. It's like on like the right side of my head or whatever. Every time she would like massage it and it's supposed to feel good, it would just be like scrape, scrape, scrape. And of course, I didn't complain or anything. Be like, oh, I think, you got like a rough spot and it's catching my skin. I just nodded and smiled and then I fucking tipped her.
You'd think that would bother her because whenever I have like a rough spot on my nails or like a crack or whatever, it like drives me nuts. Like I can feel it and I can like feel stuff going in between and like,
yeah,
I'm surprised that she didn't like notice every single time she was like.
That's what it sounded like in my ears. That was the noise.
Yeah, she was probably doing it on purpose.
Maybe.
She probably had poison stuck under her fingernail and she was trying to use the rough nail to like scrape a little nick in your skin so the poison would like go into your actual bloodstream.
That poison dart frog.
Yeah, you just barely dodged that bullet.
I did. I should be dead.
Well, this has really convinced me to just never get haircut again, so.
You can become the next Rapunzel.
I'm going to move into a tower. You guys exactly. Can climb up my hair.
The first brunette Rapunzel.
Yeah. I could always dye it blonde. I've dyed my own hair thousands of times.
Yeah, but if it's like 16 feet long, try dyeing that hair. How big a brush do you need for that, Laura?
You just gotta, I wouldn't even use a brush. I would just dump it all in like a bucket of bleach and call it a day. It does. I'm not going to cut my hair. I'm just going to fry it off with bleach so then the ends just like disintegrate and it is short again. Maybe I'll just shave my head with like the razor stuff that we have. Just go full bald.
I think you could rock it.
I think I'd wear a lot of hats.
Fair enough.
Well, as always, while marriage is messy,
murder and haircuts are messier.
We didn't even talk about leaving hair clippings all over the floor.
Yeah. That's gross.